You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Balls, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great weekend. It was an extended weekend with the holiday. Wasn't Friday and Saturday kind of wild? Friday was New Year's Day. We had football all day. Then Saturday, we had football all day. Basketball as well. I'm going to get to Tennessee basketball here in the first segment as the Vols lost their first game of the season on Saturday against Alabama. And with the Tide coming out firing in the second half, it was just too much for Tennessee to try to come back against. The shots weren't falling for Tennessee. I'm going to talk about it here in the first segment. I don't think there needs to be any kind of overreaction. I think in the long run, it can actually be a good thing for Tennessee. I'll explain why coming up in the first segment of the show. In segment number two, I will catch you up on some football personnel news with a very important lineman coming back for Tennessee's football team. Good news on the recruiting front. And again, just some personnel updates with news of where one Tennessee player leaving the program is headed. And then in segment number three, some very interesting comments from a now former Tennessee football player, a player who's in the transfer portal, who I think had some honest thoughts that should have people thinking about what needs to happen at Tennessee. Some players might need to look in the mirror after they read or hear these comments. I'll get to that on today's show. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week. Today's show is presented by BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So after beating Missouri on Wednesday night, very impressively, 73-53, Tennessee was receiving a lot of national attention. I talked about some of that on Thursday's show, and we had the Locked On Vols Mizzou cross-promotion show, and when I talked to John Miller from Locked On Mizzou, he was just incredibly impressed with what Tennessee was able to do. Everybody was, and should have been. Tennessee blew out Missouri on the road, and home and away is an interesting conversation this season. Still, Tennessee went there and won very impressively. I think that was Tennessee's best showing of the season. And then on Saturday, Tennessee had its worst showing of the season, losing 71-63 against Alabama. The Crimson Tide hit 50% of their three-point shots. They were 10 of 20 from behind the three-point line. Tennessee was 4 of 21. Well, there's the difference right there. Tennessee missed 17 threes. Alabama made 10 of 20. So you can look at just the shooting and say, okay, well, that's the difference. And I had a friend point out to me a website or a Twitter account, Quality Shots. I need to look at that more because I think it's interesting. But if you just look at the shooting and what is expected, most of the time Tennessee is going to win that game. And it backed up what I thought coming out of it. Tennessee didn't shoot well. Eve Pons going out at the start of the second half was a real problem, and we'll get to that coming up in just a moment. He's obviously a really important player. Jaden Springer was injured in the game and did not play much. And after the game, Rick Barnes said that would have been a perfect game for Jaden Springer. And with him, it obviously would have helped Tennessee's offense. And then again, Tennessee's shooting wasn't there. And that is still a question mark for Tennessee moving forward. What happens on nights when they don't shoot well? Tennessee took 21 threes against Alabama. The Vols only took 7 threes in the win against Missouri. Outside shooting is probably not going to be a strength of Tennessee's basketball team. There will be nights where Tennessee shoots really well, but there will also be nights, like on Saturday, where Victor Bailey Jr. goes 0 for 5 behind the three-point line. Josiah Jordan-James is 0 for 3 behind the three-point line. Keon Johnson missed all three of his three-point attempts. And they just had a number of different issues on that end of the floor. And then on defense, they weren't great. And Alabama hit some tough shots. Alabama found some open shots. John Petty Jr., which Tennessee, I'm sure, is ready to see move on. He had 17 points. He was 6-7 from the field, 4-4 behind the three-point line. And that got Tennessee beat. And that's something that Tennessee will be able to look at on film and say, okay, why did they get some open looks? And what happened with us on offense? What do we need to do to change that moving forward? I will say this about the loss for Tennessee. While you don't want it, Tennessee wanted to win the game, and Tennessee was trying everything it could to come back and win. It just didn't happen. If Tennessee is as good as so many people believe, myself included, this loss can be a good thing for Tennessee because, one, it will show Tennessee's players that if they don't play like they're capable of, they can lose the game. but also it will show Tennessee some things that they need to work on, and this week could be a week to watch that. Mark Pankratz, who was on staff at Tennessee under Bruce Pearl and Konzo Martin, was on the Sports Source on WATE on Sunday, and he talked about that, what Tennessee needs to take from the loss, the identity of Tennessee offensively, how these kinds of things happen, what they can work on ahead of the Arkansas game coming up on Wednesday.
What's interesting is you look at the league, there's been a ton of road victories. You know, there's that home court advantage with the COVID and lack of students. There's been a lot of teams that have been winning on the road in the SEC. The second thing, I think, yes, I do think that fans will react, as always, they do react more just because they're not in the day-to-day. It's fans. That's what they do. But I do think where it could be detrimental to this team, when Victor Bailey's your leading scorer right now, with that or leading shot attempt guy, what that tells me is they're still trying to figure out their identity. Who are they playing through? Are they playing inside out? Or are they playing with their guards? And so if you lose another one, all of a sudden that starts putting doubt in players' minds as they're trying to figure out what that identity is. My hope for this game is that they come out and say, look, man, we're playing inside out, Fulkerson Pons.
Yeah.
We're playing through you. We're going to attack. We're going to first five possessions. And if we do that, you start recreating what your identity is, and I think we'll come out with a win.
I think so, too. John Fulkerson has to be better. I think that's very clear. And they still need more from Eve Pons consistently on the offensive end. I think that's something that Rick Barnes is very clearly looking for, more consistency from his Tennessee basketball team, as good as it has been to start the season. And then there's the defensive side. Alabama shot really well, and sometimes shots are going to go in, contested or uncontested. And Eve Pons is a big deal there. I think that's very obvious. Tennessee actually moved up to number one over the weekend in Ken Pomeroy's adjusted defensive efficiency ranking nationally. Tennessee has the number one defense in the country in Ken Pom's rankings, even after the loss against Alabama. And with Eve Pons going out early in the second half, I didn't agree with the call. I didn't think it was as egregious as some people thought, because he kind of came into the player for Alabama and he moved his body away, but to the official's eye, it might look like, hey, that's the defender coming into the offensive player. Regardless, the call was made. Eve Pons came out early in the second half, and I think that hurt Tennessee's defense. He's probably the best defender in the country. He's certainly one of them. And when Pons came back in, he was a monster blocking shots, wasn't he? His ability to affect the opposing team is just so obvious. So when he's not out there, his absence can be pretty obvious as well. Now, you can come up with that being a concern for Tennessee. What if it happens again? What if Pons is in foul trouble? Well, that's something that Tennessee has to look at. But listen to what Mike Schwartz said on Sports 180 on Thursday. Mike Schwartz is the associate head coach on Tennessee's basketball staff. He's also the defensive coordinator for Tennessee basketball. And he talked about all that Eve Pons can do as a defender.
He's as good a defensive player as I know we've been around, and he can do so much. And here's the ultimate element is this, is that he can guard the ball 94 feet. If you go back to his sophomore year where he started 13 games, he was in the starting lineup, and what he did was we put him on the opposing team's point guard, and it didn't matter if he was a 6 foot point guard or a 6'6" point guard. It didn't make a difference if he was a fast, quick shooter or a big, strong guard. That was his job. So he picked the ball up 94 feet and tried to wear that point guard down in the full court and the half court. So he did that. He's obviously always been athletic and block shots and chain shots. But now you're looking at last year and this year, and he can do it all on the same possession. He can guard the ball in the full court. He can switch in the half court, whether it's switching onto a big or switching onto a guard. And then he makes the fix-it plays at the rim with his ability to change and block shots. And not sure, me speaking personally, I haven't been around a player that could do that much versatility-wise versus any position. So when you have that, and then the caveat to that all is that other guys are taking a lot of pride in pressuring the ball, attacking the ball, and you got Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Josiah James, B.J. Bailey. People don't talk as much about Santiago, who Coach talked about in his earlier press conference this week, how good of a defender he has become pressuring the ball and making the ball uncomfortable. And then you have a guy like Eve on the back line that could make plays when they do get into the paint. It's a good combination. That's a tough combination to deal with.
And when Eve Pons is off the floor, as he was for a stretch against Alabama, that could maybe allow teams to be a little more comfortable. It's something to at least pay attention to moving forward. Tennessee's next basketball game will be Wednesday night against Arkansas. I will be talking more basketball over the next couple of days, pretty much every day here on the show. I'll have Blake Lovell on Tuesday's show to talk Tennessee basketball and react to the first week of SEC play. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, some personnel notes for you on Tennessee's football team. I think some good news on the defensive side for the Vols, something to build on at least. I'll get to that coming up next on Locked On Vols today, presented by betonline.ag, the source for you if you're looking for lines like on the upcoming NFL weekend. The Titans opened up as 4.5-point underdogs against the Ravens, according to betonline.ag. Or how about the College Football National Championship? It's set. Ohio State upset Clemson. Bama is an 8-point favorite against Ohio State. If you want to bet on the championship game, the NFL opening playoff weekend, basketball's going on each and every day, hockey, martial arts, soccer, they have it for you at betonline.ag. And when you go to the website, you can sign up today for a free account and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. They have NFL games, college football games, and all the other sports that I mentioned and more. I didn't get to all of them. Stop sitting on the sidelines. Go to betonline.ag, and when you do, remember to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I mentioned betonline.ag earlier. Don't forget to check out Locked On Bets. It's a daily show. It's quick and it's great. I check it out each and every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Go download and subscribe to Locked On Bets. Some news items with Tennessee's football team, and I think overall some good news here in this segment. On Thursday, offensive lineman Cade Mays let it be known that he has decided to return to Tennessee for his, I guess, upcoming senior year. He'll be a fourth-year player. Remember, everybody had their eligibility freeze this year. But Cade Mays arrived at Tennessee as a transfer from Georgia before this season, I think with the thought of maybe heading to the NFL after this season. The season didn't go how Tennessee wanted. I don't think it went how Cade Mays expected it to go. And I don't think that he's ready for the NFL, and it appears that he thinks the same thing. So with Trey Smith leaving Tennessee and Brandon Kennedy looking to move on, I think it's really good news for Tennessee to get Cade Mays back, who can be a better player. He can be one of Tennessee's best offensive linemen, maybe Tennessee's best offensive lineman next season. And I'll be curious to see how he fits into the offensive line and what is that group next year, because there's some players who did not reach their potential this season who need to for Tennessee moving forward, as I think the Vols have to replace their best offensive lineman. Trey Smith and Brandon Kennedy were probably their top two guys this past year. Now that they're going to be gone, what does that mean for Wanya Morris coming back? He's a guy that he dealt with injury during the offseason. He had the hip surgery. He never really got going this past year, was injured again, was used more in a jumbo package as the season went along. But I think Tennessee wants him to be a starting left tackle. What about Darnell Wright? What's his future? And then other players like Jerome Carvin, Cooper Mays, Cade's brother. He got some playing time there at the end of the season because of Brandon Kennedy's injury. What is Cooper's future? He could be the starting center this upcoming season. That's worth paying attention to. What exactly is Jameer Johnson's status? I know that Javonte Spraggins is a player who impressed Tennessee staff this past season. He was a true freshman at guard. He's a guy that could compete to be a starter heading into 2021. The offensive line has to be better. We don't know who the offensive line coach will be yet, and that's to be determined with Will Friend moving on to South Carolina. But if you look at all the different position groups, I guess you could argue quarterback because of the importance, but I would say based on the expectation, the offensive line was the most disappointing group on the team this past season. Again, based on how good it was expected to be, what can it be this upcoming season? Expectations are probably going to go back down, but the potential, I think, is still really high with Tennessee's offensive line. And it's still a deep group. It just needs to be a better group. Let's see who Jeremy Pruitt hires, assuming Jeremy Pruitt is the guy making that hire to be Tennessee's next offensive line coach. Other good news for Tennessee came out over the weekend that Dylan Brooks has signed with Tennessee. I'm not sure why he wanted to wait other than to get some extra attention, but Brooks, who had been committed to Tennessee since the spring, he's Tennessee's highest rated signee in the 2021 class. He signed back during the early signing period. He announced it over the weekend, so that's something that Tennessee fans don't have to worry about moving forward. Not that there was really a reason to be worried, but until you know, I guess you never know. So Dylan Brooks added to the class is a guy who will be able to help Tennessee, I think, immediately as a pass rusher. And even with DeAndre Johnson moving on, he announced over the weekend that he's headed to Miami, by the way. Tennessee will still have Tyler Barron coming back. I think he can be a really good player. Morvin Joseph is a guy with a lot of potential. Roman Harrison, heading into his third season, I guess could potentially be Tennessee's best pass rusher. He's a guy that has a nice skill set. And then what can other players do? Bryson Eason, heading into his second season. Tennessee signed Byron Young, a junior college outside linebacker, defensive end, to no doubt come in and be able to help right away. I think Quavarius Crouch could be a good pass rusher for Tennessee. The Vols have some personnel to work with there. And having potential and developing that potential, again, can be a separate conversation. Just go back to what I was talking about with the offensive line. But they have some players there. They have some pretty highly touted players now that you add Dylan Brooks to the fold with Tyler Barron, who was coveted by a bunch of schools, and Morvin Joseph, who chose Tennessee over Florida and Florida State in last year's class. Tennessee has some players to work with on the defensive side. I would say at every level. Tennessee had players this past season. Talent was not really an issue. Tennessee did not live up to what its talent level was. I think that's pretty obvious with the 3-7 season. But let's see with a full offseason, with a more normal offseason. I don't know that it'll be totally normal, but it should be, hopefully, a more normal spring and summer to get ready for 2021. Perhaps Tennessee can be more effective from the start of the season in trying to get after the quarterback now that Dylan Brooks is officially in the fold for Tennessee heading into this upcoming season. I'm going to head into the final segment of Locked On Vols. Austin Pope is in the transfer portal. The tight end, who was not able to play this past season but played a big role for Tennessee in 2019, had some interesting things to say about what he believes needs to change with some of Tennessee's players. I'll tell you what he had to say, and David Ubben of The Athletic, who spoke to Austin, had some thoughts as well. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Today's show is presented by BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar that I think you're going to find anywhere. I love my protein bars. Salted caramel is the latest flavor that I've added to my list that I really enjoy. The peanut butter bar is probably my favorite. I love the peanut butter brownie, but you can find the flavor for you, whether it's cookies and cream or raspberry, banana bread, mint brownie, or coconut almond. Go to BuiltBar.com and check out all the flavors of their bars that are covered in 100% chocolate, and those flavors include nut and non-nut flavors. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and very importantly, they are healthy options for you. Are you looking to lose weight? Are you looking to maintain your weight? The Built Bars are a great choice as they are low in calories, low in sugar. They're high in protein and high in fiber. If you're on the keto diet, the Built Bar is a great option. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. I mentioned earlier that I'll be talking more Tennessee basketball as the week goes along. The Vols play Arkansas on Wednesday, so tomorrow, more thoughts on Tennessee coming out of the weekend. I'll talk to Blake Lovell of Blue Ribbon Yearbook to get his reaction to the first week of SEC play coming up on tomorrow's show, Locked On Vols. Here in the final segment of today's show, I want to read to you part of a quote from Austin Pope, the tight end who is departing. He's in the transfer portal, and he is looking for somewhere to go where he can be more involved in the passing game. He was hardly involved at all at Tennessee and did not expect to be in 2021. But he also talked about the approach that some of his teammates were taking at Tennessee and how that needs to change. I'm going to read part of the quote from the story, the interview that he did with David Ubben at The Athletic. I recommend you go to the website and check it out for yourself. The subscription is worth it, theathletic.com. But here's what Austin Pope said, and the question that he was asked was this. There are a lot of people who at this point don't buy Jeremy Pruitt as the right guy for Tennessee. What do you make of that conversation right now? And Austin said that he does not believe that Jeremy Pruitt is the wrong guy and said, quote, honestly, I think it's on the players. And then Austin Pope said this, quote, I think things need to change in how much people care about, number one, the team success, but number two, their own individual success. It's not good enough to go out there and put on a jersey. It's not good enough to just be at the University of Tennessee. You need to take pride in that and take pride in everything you need to do, whether it's the weight room, doing your schoolwork, or being on time for treatment. I can't tell you how many times guys will be, quote, hurt during practice, and I put that in quotations, and then Geronimo will have them come in for treatment. They're supposed to be there at 9 a.m., and I'm there doing my back stuff, rehabbing, and they'll have a board up of who missed stuff, and we got five, six names on it. It's unacceptable. Austin went on to say this: if you can't care enough to be in the building and help yourself and help this team win, I don't know if you shouldn't be there. Maybe just be a regular student. Maybe you should take that route. There's too many people that care. Fans, coaches, other players that care about this program and want it to be great. That is Austin Pope in his interview with David Ubben of TheAthletic.com. Those are strong comments, and that's just one person's opinion. But if you look at the results, and if you look at social media at times, I think that they will back up what Austin is saying there. And I think we can find more examples, especially if we start diving in to what he's talking about. And that's concerning, right? If Austin's leaving Tennessee, and he went on to say, look, I care about Tennessee. I grew up near the university. I want the Vols to succeed, and things need to change. Again, isn't that pretty obvious? This is what David Ubben said on the Sports Source. We were both on the show on Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, on WATE. You can check that entire show out at sportsource.tv. It's always loaded after the fact. But this is what David said about some of those comments that Austin Pope made in that interview.
He pretty much laid it out. I mean, you know, whether that's, you know, guys not showing up for rehab and treatment, you know, guys, you know, not watching enough film, not being sort of fully all the way in on the program, doing everything that they can. You know, in Austin's case, he felt like he was doing that. And when he looked around, he didn't see all of his teammates doing that. Not everyone, but enough that he said it made his blood boil just thinking about it, because he's a guy that grew up in Tennessee, loved the program, and hadn't seen that. And, you know, he left frustrated with a lot of his teammates that they weren't willing to put in the same investment that he was.
And if you're a Tennessee fan, that probably drives you crazy. And if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I am taking that seriously. I want to talk to Austin about what he's seen. I'd say name names. He doesn't have to publicly, but privately, if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I want some information on, okay, well, who do you think is leading the way and who could be doing a better job? I'd go to my staff. You don't even have to talk to Austin Pope. Go talk to your staff and say, hey, who are some of the names on the board? Who's supposed to be there rehabbing and who's not there rehabbing? Get some information and then find the players that are really dedicated. And this is Tennessee. This is a place where the expectations are going to be really high, and players have to understand that. It's one thing in the middle of May to say, hey, we're going to change the program and Tennessee's coming and you better watch out and people are scared of us. You can say that in May. You have to show it in August through November. And Tennessee did not this fall. And that's something that I'd be paying attention to as well. That, you know, building a brand and social media, that's very important. But it's not going to matter if you're not putting in the work behind the scenes. And in fact, it's going to come back to bite you often. And I think that's something that's frustrating to Austin Pope. And I bet he's not the only player with that opinion. So I'll say one more time, go read that interview at The Athletic. Very interesting. And we'll see what Tennessee does. We'll see what Tennessee is able to do in the transfer portal, adding players, because Austin's a guy that wanted to be more involved in the passing game. He was very involved at CAK, a school that would pass the football a lot. And that's high school, not college, I know. But I look at the offense with Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren. Those were guys coming in with a lot of history as recruits, catching the football. They weren't very involved until the Texas A&M game, in fact, and things have to change offensively. Tennessee needs as many guys who can make plays as possible. One name to at least pay attention to, is Tennessee a long shot here? Maybe. You would think so. Eric Gilbert's in the transfer portal. He was a freshman this past season at LSU. He is an athletic freak, looks like a monster on the field. He was a high school teammate of Harrison Bailey. When Gilbert announced that he's transferring, Bailey went on Twitter and said, hey, let's run it back. Come to Tennessee. We'll see what happens there. If I'm Gilbert, I would be paying attention to what Tennessee's offense was or wasn't, and Jeremy Pruitt needs to pay attention to that. It needs to change in 2021. That I'm sure you agree with. Hopefully, for Tennessee's sake, Jeremy Pruitt agrees with it as well. Coming up on tomorrow's show, more Tennessee basketball. Let's see if any football news develops here as Tennessee has some staff additions to make. We continue to wait to hear what's going on exactly with the internal investigation at Tennessee. How will that affect the program moving forward? Everybody's monitoring. We'll see if there's any update here in the next 24 hours or sometime this week. And again, Tennessee getting ready for Arkansas in basketball. We'll spend a lot of time on that. Thank you for being here on Locked On Vols. Keep spreading the word. We're here in the new year, and I'm excited about what we'll be doing in 2021. Rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. 5-star reviews are always appreciated. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great start to the week. I will see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.